English Evening. I'm John, and thanks for joining us.
This is 董宁，大家好，欢迎来到中国中央人民广播电台经济之声为您带来的英语之夜节目。John, I don't know if you remember that some weeks ago we talked about that living near big traffic is bad to your health.
Yeah, I think we've talked about it a few different times, actually.
Yeah.
Because you're looking at, you know, air pollution and noise pollution, you know, maybe just in general, you know, your life near a lot of traffic is just more stressful.
But, you know, people who live near green spaces may be less likely to than those surrounded by concrete to suffer a range of health problems, particularly depression and anxiety. They found the link was especially strong when it came to depression and anxiety, suggesting that respite from stress and hustle and bustle of urban life may be an important reason for the benefits of green.
Yeah, maybe. And it's one of those things, like past studies have found that people who live in greener environments tend to report better subjective health. That is, maybe they're not actually more healthier, but they feel healthier, right? Like psychologically, they feel better. And I think this definitely makes sense because, you know, if you live in an area that's really, really noisy, there's lots of cars, there's lots of buildings, and lights are always on, right? It's really kind of hard to relax and to kind of de-stress and feel like you have your own space and so on and so on. But like if you live near a green space, or like if you can look out your window and there's like a park or something like that, and it's quieter, right? It's less stressful, and I think really, really can help you relax a little bit, because look, we all need that time away, I think, time to be in our own space and to kind of just have everything to be quiet and nothing really too loud kind of going on. And so I think being able to like go to a park or something like that definitely helps.
一项荷兰的研究发现呢，与被钢筋混凝土的水泥包围的人相比呢，住在绿地附近的人呢，出现一系列健康问题，特别是抑郁、焦虑的可能性较小。那研究人员还发现，绿地呢对抑制抑郁和焦虑的作用最大，意味着绿地的一大重要的益处就是平缓压力，隔开城市生活的喧嚣。这也就是为什么我们在城市里买房子的时候，很多的情况下要考虑容积率和绿化率的问题。 So this is very important because you know, for example, in Beijing, you want to buy apartment or house, you have to think about is it green space enough? So enough space from one building to the other. So that's really important, because if you near more green spaces, then you have greater health.
Yeah, exactly. And so what they found was that if people were within 1 kilometer of this green space, then they would actually have a reduction in health risks and as well as depression and anxiety. And so the thing is, what they found was that people who lived in areas with 90% green space, right? So we're talking like more than not, right? There's a lot of green, there's a lot of trees and stuff like that. Just over 2% of these had been diagnosed with depression, right? Compared with 3% of those living in areas with only 10% green space, right? And so on the one hand, like, you look at the percentages and it's really not that big, but at the same time, there is some kind of link between like living in a place with lots of trees and grass and living just in a place where there's lots of buildings.
The finding building on evidence that green space has a positive effect on health and is more than just a luxury good. For example, if you want to buy a house with a view, then sometimes the money is more than the house without a view.
Yeah, exactly. No, exactly. I mean, it also depends on like where you live and like you know, transportation and so on and so on. But I think it's just one of those things. I mean, for me, like when I'm looking at a place, like I look at the neighborhood. You know, like is the neighborhood quiet or is it noisy? You know, are there lots of lights, or is it dark at night? You know, and like all these small things, I think, really can help you, you know, kind of de-stress after work.
So that's why, you know, that more and more urban citizens, they are moving out of the, you know, the city because despite the traffic is bad, despite they have to drive, you know, a long way to the office or something, somewhere else, but they would rather to have a bigger space to live and have more green spaces to, you know, surround them.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, because, like you said, a lot in America as well, people will live, like, maybe 2 or 3 hours away from work.
Sometimes you have to take the train to the
city
to work.
Yeah, sometimes you do. And people do that, you know, because they you know, it's living in that area, you know, it's more suitable for them. You know, so, yeah.
Yeah. Well, speaking of health, many people, they would love to have some pets. Like a cat or a dog or some fish or birds. But some people, they would have pet turtles.
Yeah, but the thing is with pet turtles, of course, is that they can be a little bit dangerous. And it's not because, like, the animals themselves are dangerous, but it's because people can actually, like, get sick if you don't take care.
没错，那么很多人呢喜欢养宠物，像养只小猫，养只小狗，同时呢还有人养鱼养鸟的，但是还有另外一部分人，他们喜欢养一些乌龟，因为乌龟呢非常的好养，但是根据国外的一项调查显示，特别是对小孩子来讲呢，如果养这个宠物乌龟的话，会很容易得到一种病，这个病的名字叫做 Salmonella， 是沙门氏菌综合症。So a small turtle might seem like the idea of pet, but health officials are warning people that turtles can damage your health with, you know, two girls made sick from salmonella after swimming with a pet in a backyard pool.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. Yeah, because you really do need to be careful. Because, like, for example, salmonella it's also in chicken. And, like, so, like, if you don't cook the chicken well enough, or if you don't clean off the area that you've prepared the chicken, you know, you can get sick from the salmonella, and it can actually be pretty bad. And it's the same thing with turtles, you know, like, if you have a turtle, and, like, you pick it up and you play with it a little bit, you really need to be careful to wash your hands before you, like, eat or anything like that, because you can actually get salmonella. And so, like, swimming in a pool with these turtles can actually be more dangerous, probably.
You know, for pet turtles, it's very easy to raise because you don't have to give food to them every day.
Yeah, sure.
Like, it doesn't like a pet cat or a dog. You have to walk the dog every day.
Sure.
But the thing, the pet turtle is very, very easy to raise. But on the other hand, you have to pay attention to this salmonella. Salmonella, this disease.
No, it seems to me that turtles are actually quite popular in China as well.
Sometimes.
Yeah, because sometimes, you know, like on the street or something, you'll see some guys selling turtles.
Like you walking to or shop in a market, like they sell plants or flowers, and also in this place they sell some fish or
turtles.
Sure.
No, it is really funny actually. I was teaching a class and some girl comes in like a little bit late and she has a paper cup. And I'm looking at the paper cup and I'm like, what is she doing with that paper cup? She keeps looking inside of it and like doing something. And I ask her, what is that? And she's like, it's my turtle. Like, what? Why did you bring a turtle to class? And she just bought it on the street. So, you know, it seems like
nowhere to take.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and also the pet turtle, it cannot scream or make any noise.
That's true.
It's very quiet, slow.
Yeah, but my thing with turtles is always because they're just a little bit boring. You know, like, you know, you can play with a dog.
Like something very vivid?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, you can play with a dog, you can play with a cat, but you can't really do anything with the turtle. You can just, like, sit and watch them, I suppose.
It's raised too.
Yeah, I don't know.
The turtle, it can bite.
That's true. But I don't want a turtle biting.
One of my friends has raised two turtles, and one turtle just bites the others.
Oh, really?
That's really funny. Yeah. Okay, so speaking of health, now here is another article from Yale University. New research at Yale University has provided the strongest evidence yet that humans are evolving and suggests that women of the future will be shorter, heavier and healthier, and will have children for longer.
Yeah, and so it's been like a big thing these days because a lot of people, maybe they don't really know what they're talking about. Maybe they're informed, maybe they're not, maybe they are informed. But a lot of people have been talking about how humans, in fact, are not evolving, mostly because of medicine, right? Because we have a lot of like artificial things to help us live longer and live healthier, which would suggest to some people that maybe we're not evolving, our bodies are not changing, and so on and so on. But according to this research, they have actually found some evidence for evolution. Like, we don't have as many outside pressures anymore. Like, we don't have to adapt to the environment like we did, you know, maybe 10,000, 100,000 years ago. But, you know, there's still different kinds of selection going on. And so that they predict that by the year 2409, that women will be a little bit shorter, a little bit heavier. They will be able to have kids 5 months earlier, and that they will begin menopause maybe 10 months later. And so you're looking at basically like the... Like their ability to give birth will actually be longer than it is now.
那根据美国耶鲁大学的一项研究显示呢，在人类不断进化的过程当中呢，对于女性来讲，女性是朝着一个方向来不断的进化，就是她们会变得更矮，更加体重更加重，同时呢会更加的健康，而且她们生的孩子呢也会更加的健康。So, do you think women being shorter or heavier is good?
Well, I mean, it depends. Like, I think in the end, like, we're not looking at beauty, let's say. We're just looking at how things probably will happen. No, but it's important for our listeners to keep in mind that, like, this was a study done using medical data from 1948 from a town in Massachusetts, and so that's of course in America, and so they looked at about 2,000, a little bit over 2,000 women from this one town, and so I think it's important to remember that there is some strong evidence that says, you know, what we just said, but at the same time, there's some other stuff you got to think about, because it's not, number one, like, we're not talking about China, right?
Mm-mm.
Like, this evidence didn't come from China. And also, we're looking at evidence that comes from a small town in the northeast of the United States. And so these findings might only be true for people in northeastern United States.
It found that shorter, heavier women had more children than lighter, taller ones. Women with lower blood pressure and cholesterol were also more likely to have large families. It's good news. Now let's move on to today's best news. 接下来呢，我们来听听财经资讯。China attracts $52 billion investment from ASEAN. 中国从东盟吸引520亿美元投资。
China had attracted $52 billion US of investment over the past 30 years from the member states of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations. As of the end of 2008, the bilateral investment reached $60 billion US, of which the ASEAN investment in China was $52 billion, taking 6% of the world's total investment in China. The top five investors in China were Singapore, Malaysia, Indonesia, Thailand, and the Philippines in 2008, of which Singapore became the world's third largest investor in China. The bilateral investment is obviously unbalanced. Reasons are that ASEAN countries eye China as a huge market, while Chinese companies lack experience in ASEAN, and that they already have China as a huge market. Statistics from the China Customs show that the trade volume between China and ASEAN reached $231 billion US in 2008, with an annual increase rate of 21.6% since 2004.
嗯, that was today's best news. And now let's move on to Studio Classroom.
嗨 friends, welcome to Studio Classroom Worldwide. Thanks for taking time out of your day to study English with us. My name is Steve. Day two of our Animal Tales feature brings us back to a conversation between our friend Bunny Longears and a cold-blooded killer snake. Bunny knows the snake is dangerous, but will he run away? Before we find out, let's check in on the word bank. the great and useful adjective crafty. She's a crafty lady. Don't let her trick you. Now, let's get back to the conversation between Bunny and the killer snake. We'll start at the top of the right-hand column on page 47.
A Bunny's Tale. But wait, the serpent urged. One as intelligent as yourself should see fit to help me. Intelligent? Smiled the rabbit. Most intelligent, flattered the snake. Surely you know I mean no harm. I only ask a favor.
What favor?
Asked the bunny. A simple one, replied the crafty serpent. Just look through the grass and find a strong stick. Then kindly lift me out of this miserable pit. Afterward, we can see one another off, as friends.
I really shouldn't, said Bunny, but maybe I'll look after you just this once.
Hi, friends. I'm Esther.
And I'm Chelsea, and we are here to look at our story, A Bunny's Tale, again today. Now, yesterday we met Bunny Longears, and on his way home, he heard a voice calling out to him from a pit that was saying, "Help me. Please stop. I need you." And before Bunny Longears would do anything, he wanted to look into the situation. He wanted to see about it, and he found that there was a garden snake in the pit who was calling out for help. And we left off yesterday with the bunny trying to decide if he should help the garden snake or if he should leave and go home, because he could tell that it might be a dangerous situation.
In fact, at the end of our conversation yesterday, Bunny told the garden snake, "You're nothing but a cold-blooded killer," and he turns and walks off. But today the snake says, "But wait." So now the serpent, or the snake, is calling out. He wants Bunny to rethink his decision to leave him alone.
And then the snake goes on to say that one as intelligent as yourself should see fit to help me. Now, if you see fit to do something, that means that you think that something is appropriate. You view something as being appropriate. For example, I might tell you, spend your money however you see fit, however you see it as appropriate. So now he's calling Bunny Longears intelligent, and that catches the bunny's ears. He says, "Intelligent?" And he smiles. And how does the snake respond?
Well, the snake continues and says, "Most intelligent." And we know that if someone is intelligent, it means we're saying they're very wise and smart. And when Bunny hears the snake telling him that he is most intelligent, he feels flattered. And if someone flatters someone else, here we're using the word flatter as a verb, it means that they are overpraising them. They're praising them so that they almost feel a little embarrassed, and often this praise isn't completely true, but the snake flatters Bunny Longears, and he continues and says, "Surely you know I mean no harm. I don't want to hurt you," the snake is saying. "I only ask a favor. Just do something for me."
And Bunny says, "What favor?" Remember, the bunny might be a little bit curious still. And the snake responds, "Well, a simple one," replied the crafty serpent. Now, crafty is an adjective. That means that somebody is good at doing things because they want to get something. They plan and they maybe secretly try to come up with ways to trick people. I know I've heard this word used with politician before. A crafty politician might try to get people to believe him through his words and through clever planning that he does in his head and things that he tells them. So the snake is crafty, and so he's trying to convince Bunny that he means no harm.
And before we use this word sly, if someone is sly, they're trying to trick someone else. If someone is crafty, well, they're smart in a bad way. So this pig doesn't seem like he's a very friendly or a very good creature, but Bunny now, he has been flattered and he wants to hear more. So the snake continues and says, just look through the grass and find a strong stick. Then kindly lift me out of this miserable pit. So he wants Bunny to lift him out of the pit. And he says, look through the grass. And if you look through something, it means you go through it and you go through it very carefully. So he wants Bunny to look for a stick. And then he wants Bunny to lift him out of that terrible, miserable pit.
And the crafty snake goes on to say, and afterward, after you lift me out of the pit, we can see one another off. Now, if you see someone off, that means you are with them when they are leaving and you are there to say goodbye to them. So if you came over to my house for dinner one night, I might say, I'll take you to the door and see you off now. So I say goodbye.
So Bunny responds and says, I really shouldn't, but maybe I'll look after you just this once. Maybe I'll look after you. This means he's saying, maybe I'll take care of you just this once. Now Bunny knows that this isn't something he should do, but he thinks, well, maybe just this one time I'll take care of you.
Welcome back from the break, everyone. Now, what in the world is Bunny Longears thinking? In English, we might say Bunny is toying or playing with danger. Bunny, be careful. Run away. The last key word of the lesson is the word reptile. Turtles, snakes, and lizards are reptiles. Now, let's find out what happens as Bunny Longears does something he knows he shouldn't. The reading resumes on line 15.
A bunny's tail. So he found a stick and lifted the ugly snake out of the pit and onto the grass nearby. My! Exclaimed the rabbit as he looked over the snake. You look disgusting! Yes, grinned the snake. And you look delicious. Delicious! Cried the rabbit. But I thought... Don't be surprised, said the reptile. You knew I was trouble when you lifted me out of that hole. What happened to the little rabbit? I cannot tell. I didn't dare look on. But learn a lesson as you look at this simple tale. When trouble calls, watch out. Keep moving on and don't look back.
So just before the break, Bunny Longears decided to just this once look after the snake and help him out of the pit. So what does he do? Well, he finds a stick and lifts the ugly snake out of the pit and onto the grass nearby. My! Exclaimed the rabbit. And if you exclaim something, that means that you say something suddenly and loudly, maybe because you're upset or you're angry about something. So his response is, my! And Esther, what does he then say to the snake after he lifts him up?
He says, you look disgusting. And if someone or something looks disgusting, it looks very scary. You say, ew, it makes you feel bad inside. But the snake says, yes. And as he's saying this, he is grinning or smiling. And he continues and says, and you look delicious. And if something is delicious, it means it tastes very good. So what is Bunny's response? What does Bunny cry out?
Delicious! As though he's confused. He doesn't understand. And he goes on to say, but I thought... But the snake cuts him off and says, don't be surprised. said the reptile. Now, we've already kind of talked about this word, reptile, and we talked about cold-blooded earlier. A reptile is a cold-blooded animal, and that means its body temperature changes when the temperature outside changes. So snakes and lizards are forms of reptiles. So this reptile, this crafty snake, is saying to the bunny, "Don't be surprised. You should have known that I would be disgusting when you pulled me out."
That's right. He says, "You knew I was in trouble when you lifted me out of that hole." So even though Bunny knew that he shouldn't have lifted the snake out of the hole, but he just wanted to help the snake. He had a soft heart. So our writer says, "What happened to the little rabbit, I cannot tell. I didn't dare look on." If you don't look on, it means you continue to look and find out what's happening. So the writer doesn't want to tell us what happens because probably the result of the story, the ending, wasn't a very good ending.
That's right. He didn't dare look on. He didn't dare watch what was going to happen. You might say the medical student looked on while the doctor performed the surgery. That means they looked without participating in that event. So the author did not want to look, probably for fear of what was going to happen, and the author says that they can't tell us what happened to the little rabbit. They didn't dare look on. But they did learn a lesson. And what was that lesson? It's a simple one.
The lesson is, when trouble calls, watch out. So if you find yourself in trouble, or if you feel like something is going to get you in trouble, watch out. Be careful. Be very careful. And keep on moving. Keep moving on. And don't look back. Keep moving on. Keep going. And don't look back. Don't look behind. Don't look to the past. And don't go back. Just keep going.
Now, this is a very simple lesson, but it's one that you could easily apply to your own life. When trouble calls, when there is trouble around, make sure you watch out. Keep on moving and don't look back, because if you continue in the direction of trouble, you might find yourself in a situation like Bunny, a situation that you can't get out of, that puts you into direct danger. And of course, we wouldn't want you to do that.
And you know, what really speaks to my heart is Bunny knew that he should have gone home. And he was on his way home, but he got curious. He heard a voice and he wanted to find out where that voice was coming from. And when he began to do that, he made many other decisions, didn't he? And one decision led to the next decision. And before he knew it, he got tricked by the crafty, sly snake.
He did. Now, there are definitely cases where we would tell you that if a person needs your help, then absolutely you should help that person or that creature. But just be careful in other situations where there might be trouble calling, where you can't tell if it's a situation where it might turn into something dangerous. You need to be extra careful. But in general, it is okay to help people. Bunny did what he thought was right by trying to help the snake. It just turned out to be a bad situation.
And the snake really tried to trick Bunny, and he wanted to eat Bunny because he wanted food. Now, if you are in a situation where there is trouble, well, maybe you can find someone else to go with you and help the person who is feeling unwell, or help someone who has fallen. Try not to do things by yourself sometimes, because that can be dangerous.
It can. Well, we hope that you've learned a lot from this animal tale story today.
Friends, I hope you have a great day. Bye-bye, friends.
Okay, that was Studio Classroom, and as always, thanks for joining us, and we hope to see you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
北京时间22:59，中央人民广播电台经济之声，让你永远领先一分钟。
工业经济学，
欢迎
来到 Cookie 经济学，今日查点滞后指标 Lagging Indicators。 滞后指标会延迟反映经济周期的波动，消费者物价指数 CPI、 企业的年利润、顾客满意度等等数据都是滞后指标。滞后指标没有预测价值，但可以帮助政策制定者、经济学家、投资者和企业家验证他们之前的预测，并帮助他们在今后更好地进行决策。
瑞士天梭表为您报时，传承经典工艺，启迪非凡创意。瑞士天梭表，时间任你穿梭。